So in May, I said changing of the guard, when season, changing of the guards. And I was making a comparison. When Moses had come to 120 years, he's at the bank of the River Jordan, and the Lord said to him, "You're changing the guard, Moses. We're looking for someone else to take the people across the Jordan into the promised land. And I think young Joshua here is the person." I was making that comparison with the fact that we've come to the end with Pastor Brian, and we're moving into a new season without Pastor Brian. So that kind of comparison. And I was saying that we're going to have things that we want everybody to do. So we have prayer group, we have the main service, we have Bible quiz. We're trying to think of things, men's group, women's group, things that we can get involved with to take us across the Jordan into the new Merced Promised Land. So I want you to bear that in mind, that's what I mentioned in May. And in June, I did another comparison. I was saying that not in our own strength. If we try to do this kind of stuff in our own strength, we're not going to succeed. And I made a comparison with young shepherd boy David and Goliath, the fact that he came to Goliath in the name of the living God, not as a soldier, not as a military person. And he defeated a military person because he didn't do it in his own strength. So, today, I was also at that point, I was mentioning about getting involved again, things that we can do as this young body of believers here, or small body of believers, moving into the promised land, what we're going to do. So I'm going to fast forward about 500 years after leaving Egypt. King David is now the king. So 500 years after leaving Egypt, shepherd boy, no king. So, Saul is dead, young David is the king, and as a military leader, David has lots of success against the Amorites and the Philistines and all those armies that are around him in the new promised land. And God is generally pleased with David. David is a very good king, but God is generally pleased with him, other than having to punish him for the murder of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. And he's overwhelmed with God's love for him. And he wants to build his temple. So I want to start the story from there, if I could ask you this year, to read 2 Samuel, chapter 7, 1 to 17.
After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." But that night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now, I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own, and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation.
So, David is really enthusiastic. He's really overwhelmed by God's love. And he said, I'm going to build this temple for you, Lord. So my passage, the telling is, God will choose the leader. So while David has this enthusiasm, and I want all of us to have the enthusiasm, God is going to give us the leader who's going to say yes or no. So with that in mind, I want David to continue from verse 18 to 29.
29.
From 18 to 29.
Then David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God. And you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of God, the manner of man, O Lord God? Now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God. For there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make himself a name, and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds in your land. Before your people, whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods. For you have made your people Israel, your very own people forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as you have said. So let your name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless this house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with your blessing let this house of your servant be blessed forever.
So David is confronted by the fact that he won't build the temple, but he's still honored, and he honors God with his prayer for even making him a part of the devotion. But let's fast forward a couple years. So we fast forward a couple years. David has a son called Absalom. Absalom kills his half-brother because that half-brother has raped Absalom's sister. And Absalom flees the palace and is exiled. Some years later, David is convinced by a palace official to bring back his banished son into the palace. So if we can ask Joanna to start from 2 Samuel 15, 10 to 26. And we take that story forward.
So Absalom went to Hebron. But while he was there, he sent secret messengers to all the tribes of Israel to stir up a rebellion against the king. As soon as you hear the ram's horn, his message read, "You are to say, Absalom has been crowned king of Hebron." He took 200 men from Israel at Jerusalem with him as guests, but they knew nothing of his intentions. While Absalom was offering sacrifices, he sent for Ahithophel, one of David's counselors who lived in Gilo. Soon many others also joined Absalom, and the conspiracy gained momentum. A messenger soon arrived in Jerusalem to tell David, "All Israel has joined Absalom in conspiracy against you. Then we must flee at once, or it will be too late," David urged his men. "Hurry. If we get out of the city before Absalom arrives, both we and the city of Jerusalem will be spared from disaster." "We are with you," his advisors replied. "Do what you think is best." So the king and all his household set out at once. He left no one behind except 10 of his concubines to look after the palace. The king and all his people set out on foot, pausing at the last house to let all the king's men move past to lead the way. There were 600 men from Gath who had come with David, along with the king's bodyguard. Then the king turned and said to Ittai, a leader of the men from Gath, "Why are you coming with us? Go on back to King Absalom, for you are a guest in Israel, a foreigner in exile. You arrived only recently, and should I force you today to wander with us? I don't even know where we will go. Go on back and take your kingdom with you, and may the Lord show you his unfailing love and faithfulness." But Ittai said to the king, "I vow by the Lord and by your own life that I will go wherever my lord the king goes, no matter what happens, whether it means life or death." David replied, "All right, come with us." So Ittai and all his men and families went along. Everyone cried loudly as the king and his followers passed by. They crossed the Kidron Valley, and when they went out towards the wilderness, Zadok and all the Levites also came along, carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God. They set the Ark of God, and Abiathar offered sacrifices until everyone had passed out of the city. Then the king instructed Zadok to take the Ark of God back to the city. "If the Lord sees fit," David says, "he will bring me back to see the Ark and the tabernacle again. But if he is through with me, then let him do what seems best to him."
Right, so this is a coup. This is political upheaval. Just like now, there's political upheaval in this country. This is a coup, and David has to flee right away. He clothes on his back, he has to get out because his son is trying to kill him. But he says, "Not to worry. If God wants me back, he'll take me back. He'll put me back in charge." So if you have Tony just taking on that story, let's continue that story. 2 Samuel chapter 15, 27 to 37. Let's understand what's going on.
The king also said to Zadok the priest, "Aren't you a seer? Go back to the city in peace with your son Ahimaaz and Jonathan, son of Abiathar. You and Abiathar take your two sons with you." "I will wait at the fords in the desert until word comes from you to inform me." So Zadok and Abiathar took the Ark of God back to Jerusalem and stayed there. But David continued up the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went. His head was covered and he was barefoot. all the people with him covered their heads too and were weeping as they went up. Now, David had been told Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. So David prayed, O Lord, turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness. When David arrived at the summit where people used to worship God, Hushai, the Archite, was there to meet him, his robe torn and dust on his head. David said to him, if you go with me, you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king. I was your father's servant in the past, but now I will be your servant. Then you can help me by frustrating Ahithophel's advice. Won't the priests, Zadok and Abiathar, be there with you? Tell them everything you hear in the king's palace. Their two sons, Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, and Jonathan, son of Abiathar, are there with them. Send them to me with anything you hear. So David's friend, Hushai, arrived at Jerusalem as Absalom was entering the city.
So, as I said to you, God will choose the leader. So in this situation, David has fled the palace. Absalom is entering the palace to take over. But God is working behind the scenes and is creating this kind of spy scenario where any advice that the new king, Absalom, sort of cool leader, is frustrated in trying to make this thing happen. And if I can ask Alex to continue the story, 2 Samuel 16, 15 to 23.
Now Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, Hushai said to Absalom, long live the king, long live the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this your loyalty to your friends? Why should you not go with your friends? And Hushai said to Absalom, no, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel have chosen, his I will be, and with him I will remain. And again, whom should I serve? Should it not be his son? As I have served your father, so I will serve you. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, give your counsel, what shall we do? Ahithophel said to Absalom, go into your father's concubines, who means left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you have made yourself a stench to your father, and the hands of all who are with you will be strengthened. So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now in those days the counsel that Ahithophel gave was as if one consulted the word of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel esteemed by both David and by Absalom.
Bad advice, but still up to visit to continue that story. Can you
remind me the verse?
So
it's 2 Samuel 17.
14 to 23.
14. Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than that of Ahithophel. For the Lord had determined to frustrate the prudent advice of Ahithophel in order to bring disaster on Absalom. Hushai told Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, Ahithophel had advised Absalom and the elders of Israel to do such and such. But I have advised them to do so and so. Now, send a message immediately and tell David, do not spend the night at the fords in the desert to cross over without fail, or the king and all the people with him will be swallowed up. Mm. Jonathan and Ahimaaz were staying at Enrogel. A servant girl was to go and inform them, and they were to go and tell King David. But they could not risk being seen entering the city. But a young man saw them and told Absalom. So the two of them left quickly and went to the house of a man in Bath Harbin. He had a well in his courtyard, and they climbed down into it. His wife took a covering and spread it over the opening of the well and scattered grain over it. No one knew anything about it. When Absalom's men came to the woman at the house, they asked, "Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" The woman answered them, "They crossed over the brook." The men searched and found no one, so they returned to Jerusalem. After the men had gone, the two climbed out of the well and went to inform King David. They said to him, "Set out and cross the river at once. Ahithophel has advised such and such against you." So David and all the people with him set out and crossed the Jordan. By daybreak, no one was left who had not crossed the Jordan. When Ahithophel saw that his advice had not been followed, he saddled his donkey and set out for his house in the hometown. He put his house in order. Oh dear, this is horrible. And then hanged himself. So he died and was buried in his father's tomb.
Yes, horrible indeed. And the point I'm making is that God is behind the scenes. So, remember my heading, God will choose the leader. So we have this political turmoil, this coup taking place. But God is working behind the scenes. And God will work behind the scenes in our church here, or in any scenario, where we put him first. And I just want us to bear that in mind. Philip said, I didn't ask you to do it. Philip is reading the last one to read, and then my story again. So it's 2 Samuel, chapter 18, 1 to 18. 2 Samuel, chapter 18, 1 to
18. David mustered the men who were with him and appointed over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. David sent off his troops, a third under the command of Joab, a third under Joab's brother Abishai, son of Zeruiah, and a third under Ittai the Gittite. The king told the troops, "I myself will surely march out with you." But the men said, "You must not go out. If we are forced to flee, they won't care about us. Even if half of us die, they won't care. But you are worth 10,000 of us. It would be better now for you to give us support from the city." The king answered, "I will do whatever seems best to you." So the king stood beside the gate while all his men marched out in units of hundreds and of thousands. The king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, "Be gentle with the young man Absalom for thy sake." And all the troops heard the king giving orders concerning Absalom to each of his commanders. David's army marched out of the city to fight Israel, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. There, Israel's troops were routed by David's men, and the casualties that day were great, 20,000 men. The battle spread out over the whole countryside, and the forest swallowed up more men that day than the sword. Now Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule, and as the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak, Absalom's heel got caught in the tree. He was left hanging in midair while the mule he was riding kept on going. When one of the men saw what had happened, he told Joab, "I just saw Absalom hanging in an oak tree." Joab said to the man who had told him this, "What? You saw him? Why didn't you strike him to the ground right there? Then I'll have had to give you 10 shekels of silver and a warrior's belt." But the man replied, "Even if 1,000 shekels were weighed out in my hands, I would not lay a hand on the king's son. In our hearing, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, protect the young man Absalom for my sake. And if I had put my life in jeopardy, and nothing is hidden from the king, you would have kept your distance from me." Joab said, "I'm not going to wait like this for you." So he took 3 javelins in his hand and plunged them into Absalom's heart while Absalom was still alive in the oak tree. and 10 of Joab's arm bearers surrounded Absalom, struck him and killed him. Then Joab sounded the trumpet, and the troops stopped pursuing Israel, but Joab had halted them. They took Absalom, threw him into a big pit in the forest, and piled up a large heap of rocks over him. Meanwhile, all the Israelites fled to their home. During his lifetime, Absalom had taken a pillar and erected it in the king's valley as a monument to himself, for he thought, "I have no son to carry on the memory of my name." He named the pillar after himself, and it is called Absalom's Monument to this day.
So a little sad ending to the story, but the point I'm making is God will choose the meal. So Absalom put upon himself, and he did a coup to get rid of the Lord's anointed. So while David still loved his son and didn't want them to kill his son, I guess the generals knew that that would have been a wise move. So they went against his word. But you realize when they're talking about this, it's hundreds, it's thousands of people fleeing the city. It's not just a handful. The whole city had to run away, otherwise Absalom would have destroyed the city. But what is my point? Don't rush to be a leader. Rush to be involved. Rush to be a contributor. Rush to be a volunteer. Rush to be a party. That's one. Even if you're successful in a coup, that does not mean that your leadership is anointed by God. And then my final point, continue to pray. So even in our scenario in church, in nursery, continue to pray that the Lord's work happens here. So each of us knows what we need to do, or get involved to see how we can volunteer or contribute. And then God will find it.